The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, we're closing the book on the 2018 Buffalo Bills season. Looking ahead to the 2019 offseason, Matthew Fairburn. Fairburn Friday, The Athletic. Joining us now in the sports bar, Matthew, how you been? How was your holiday?
Oh, my holiday was great. How about you guys?
Always too short, Matthew, right? So here we roll in to the offseason. The Buffalo Bills providing their season-ending press conferences with the head coach and with the GM. The word they threw around a little bit, judicious. Should Bills fans have high expectations when it comes to the team spending money this free agency period?
Yes and no. I think there should be some level of expectation that these guys are going to make a concerted effort to replace some of the guys on offense that just aren't cutting it, particularly on the offensive line and at tight end. But I think there's also a bit of, hesitance on the part of the team to just spend all this money and put themselves right back in the spot where they were, when they got here. I think the reason you want to have, a ton of cap space is so that when your guys come up for contract extensions, you're comfortable handing out those extensions. They don't have anybody yet that, needs a new deal. So this is the time to spend some of this money, but not to go too crazy. I think where you should expect them to spend the money is probably the offensive line, because I think that's a stronger group of free agents than the wide receivers. And, there's probably more options to spend the money. But I think that might be why they're couching this so early, is they're looking at this free agent class and saying, it's nothing too special. And so they're not ready to open up their checkbook just for the sake of it. But if there are guys here and there that are worth spending on, I don't think they're going to hesitate to do that.
Matthew, I'm going to die on the Matt Paradise hill. I know he's coming off of a torn ACL, but I think he could present one hell of a value at center for the Buffalo Bills in free agency should they decide to go after him. Are there any names that you like in terms of that offensive line and free agency that the Bills could be targeting as we get into the 2019 offseason?
Yeah, I think, the guy you mentioned there, Paradise, is one that is going to pop up a lot because he's been pretty rock solid at center for the Broncos by all accounts. And he's a guy that's still young enough that you can feel like he's got plenty of good years left in him. And I think center is probably the worst spot on the offensive line at the moment. Juwan James is a free agent, the Dolphins tackle, who's still just 26 years old, I believe, should be coming up on a decent payday, but nothing too crazy. I think he's a guy to watch. Roger Saffold, the guard for the Rams, if they don't bring him back, another guy that's just been doing it for a while at a pretty consistent level. You're not talking about the best guard in the league, but a guy that is definitely an upgrade over what they have. I like Tyrell Williams, the Chargers receiver. He does a lot in the Chargers offense that would be similar to what he would be asked to do here in Buffalo in terms of those deep crossing routes that the Bills love to run. They could use another guy with some vertical speed. Adam Humphreys down in Tampa Bay, a slot receiver. He's coming off a career year, may end up getting overpaid, but he's the type of slot receiver that this offense has desperately lacked. People wonder why Josh Allen, attempted so many passes down the field. And I think it's because guys struggle to get open in the underneath areas. And Humphreys is a guy who wins in that area. You could look at tight ends like Jared Cook, Max Williams. There's a few decent options out there. But the wild card, I think, in all of this is on defense. If this defense could use a dominant edge rusher, and DeMarcus Lawrence and Jadeveon Clowney could both be on the market. And they're probably the only two guys out of this, long list of guys that I've mentioned that would be worth throwing a ton of money at, one of those contracts that makes you turn your head. I think that's the position, and those are players that are worth it. And a guy like Jadeveon Clowney would be, a crazy get for these guys, and something that they really do need, I think, is another edge rusher. They have obviously invested some money in Trent Murphy. They have Jerry Hughes entering the final year of his contract. Shaq Lawson potentially entering the final year of his contract if they don't pick up the fifth-year option. So those are names to keep an eye on. I'm not saying they'll do it, but I think they'll sniff around.
Back to the wide receiver position. I mean, the one name I think everybody's going to zero in on because, you know, Brandon Bean brought in Kelvin Benjamin from Carolina, another guy that is going to be a free agent, Devin Funchess. Devin Funchess was not active week 17, so he is on his way out of Carolina. I guess all these questions I'm going to ask, Matthew, it comes down to, well, at what price? I'm sure you would bring the guy in cheaply, but is Devin Funchess a player you really think, knowing that Brandon Bean once upon a time was part of a scouting staff that thought enough to draft him?
Yeah, I think he's a name to watch for that reason. But given how things went down in Carolina this year, he seemed to, like you said, he was inactive and seemed to be a little bit of a distraction at times. I'm not sure this was his strongest year to have a contract year, in terms of the case he made entering free agency. I wouldn't expect him to be a priority where they open up the checkbook. Again, it's possible that, like you said, everybody at the right price, and he does have the Carolina connection. I'm wondering if the Kelvin Benjamin situation will steer them in a different direction, maybe a different type of wide receiver. Funchess is another guy that's big and, basically doesn't get a ton of separation and needs to win in contested situations. So the production hasn't always been there. I think there's a little bit of buyer beware there given how the season went down, but there's a connection there, so there's always a possibility.
Matthew Fairbairn of The Athletic, also the Bills Beat podcast with our buddy Joe Biscaglia from WKBW in Buffalo, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. The changes in the coaching staff, Matthew, let's address the release of Robisky, of course, Juan Castillo, and Danny Crossman. None of them really surprising, or were there surprises? And is this it? Will we see some more shuffling of coaching personnel? Yesterday I threw out the idea of moving David Culley now that the wide receiver position is open for the coaching staff, to move David Culley back to wide receivers coach and finding an actual true quarterbacks coach to work with Josh Allen. But I suppose there's wisdom in keeping the guy in place, given that Josh Allen did progress through the course of the season. What say you?
I think most of the major shakeups are probably done. That's a creative idea to move Culley over to wide receivers and get a better quarterbacks coach. I think it would probably be a wise idea. But I'm not, at this point, I think it's early to say exactly who they're, that would create another opening for them and make things a little bit more complicated. I think the three moves they did make were, in the case of Crossman and Castillo, overdue. I think you could argue that Castillo didn't have a lot of talent to work with, which I think is probably true. I would also say that he was, not exactly helping the situation either. And Danny Crossman, same thing goes for him. A lot of his core special teams guys weren't available to him this year because they were playing bigger roles on defense, or they had moved on in free agency, or in the case of Tywan Jones, he got hurt. But Crossman, did that unit no favors either. Robisky was a little bit more surprising just because the wide receivers showed some life down the stretch, but still wasn't a strong position group for them, and various guys that got brought in didn't work out. So Robisky being an older guy on the staff too, I wonder if they're trying to make sure they have the right guy in for the long term with that group. I'm still interested if they were to make a move at quarterback. It seems to me the way they set up the quarterback room with Derek Anderson and Matt Barkley, they feel like they have a good infrastructure in place, even with Culley, who isn't overly experienced as a quarterback's coach, but he now does have a few years under his belt, and they seem to really be, harping on continuity as a something that they're really excited about with Josh Allen going into year two with the same offensive coordinator, same position coach, and, two of the same backups that he ended the year with. So I think for the most part they're done making changes, but I would say maybe there's another small one to come because they haven't announced any of these changes. And I would expect they do that all at once they're done making all of them. So I think they're still going through the evaluation process, usually about a week-long deal. But we'll see what they have in store as far as replacements go.
Matthew Fairbairn from The Athletic. I want to go back to one thing you brought up when you brought up the Clowney. You brought up Shaq Lawson and that fifth-year option. it would just seem that, well, why wouldn't you pick up the fifth-year option? But they didn't do that on Sammy Watkins, and that, you know, proved to be the right decision. How big a decision is that for the Buffalo Bills that they're going to have to make pretty soon to pick up that option on Shaq Lawson?
It's a fairly big decision. I mean, the reason you don't pick it up is because it's guaranteed for injury. And so, you know, you don't want to be on the hook for a huge chunk of change. I mean, the fifth-year option for Shaq Lawson would be fairly expensive, somewhere in the $10 million range, I believe. So that's not a small price to pay for a guy who, you know, really hasn't, I would say, hasn't earned it to this point. I know he had a better year this year, and they were happy with his commitment, but he still has 10 career sacks in three seasons. You know, he's still not, you know, shown that he has the upside to be more as a pass rusher. He's a good run defender and brings good energy, but I think, you know, when he's not rushing the passer the way you would expect, you wonder what his long-term future is. That said, I think they want to see how he handles the offseason and whether he is still as committed. You know, last year they didn't hesitate to call him out a couple of times, and I think that motivated him. But, you know, you have to see that same consistency when he returns in the offseason program. And I think it's a tricky decision, and I'm not convinced that they're, you know, they have their mind made up yet.
Matthew, you talk about whether or not he'd be worth that fifth-year option based on his performance. I mean, value to me is so important. It's a secret ingredient that not a lot of people talk about in terms of teams that actually end up in the postseason. They find ways to get superior production out of smaller salaries. I mean, the idea that Tyreek Hill makes what he makes as the number one wide receiver in that offense is mind-blowing to me, and I think that's kind of what, when they talk about being judicious in free agency, that's what they're talking about. They're looking for those values where they can find them. That said, there are a bunch of people on the roster, a bunch of players on the roster right now that don't provide that value, and to hear Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott say that LeSean McCoy will be back in 2019, I want to believe it. But at what price? You know, is it fair to assume that this offseason the Bills do to LeSean McCoy what they did with Richie Incognito last year? Say, hey, you know what? We got 1 year left. We want to restructure. You know, what does that look like with LeSean McCoy? Because clearly what he's scheduled to make next season does not equal the value that he provided for the Bills this season.
Yeah, a restructure is one option. I think they could be serious about keeping him around. I mean, here's the thing. The reason why the, you know, the price tag, or even if he doesn't restructure, you know, his salary cap hit isn't a huge deal is because they have all this money and there's only 1 year left on that deal. And so they're probably looking at it as, we can stomach this for now. And I'm with you. He didn't provide the value that contract suggests he should. And I don't know if I buy the idea that this was just, you know, Sean McDermott said this was just one of those years. I don't know if I buy that. Now, do I think he's as bad as his numbers were this year? Probably not, but he's 30. He's going to be 31 in July. You don't just get better with age as a running back, very rarely. And you certainly don't get better as a running back with age when you play the style that LeSean McCoy does. Now, yes, people will say LeSean McCoy, you know, doesn't take as many hits because he's not a between the tackles bruiser. And so the direct contact that guys like Adrian Peterson take isn't really, you know, an issue for LeSean McCoy. That's true, but he also relies on his speed and his quickness. And those are the first things that go away as you get older. And so I don't buy the idea that he's just going to bounce back and be the same player that he always was. He might be better than he was this year, but to rely on a guy who's turning 31 to be your bell cow back again, I think would be reckless. I think you need to draft somebody and, you know, have some insurance plan or some way to diminish LeSean McCoy's role, because I just don't think he's the same player. And, you know, whether the player that he is now is good enough or worth the money remains to be seen. But I think at the very least, you need a good insurance option.
Matthew, we haven't talked since the holidays here. I don't like a 30-year-old supposed leader being disciplined in Week 16 by his head coach. And it's one of those stories that kind of, well, because of the holiday, kind of got buried a little bit. What exactly happened? What do we know about LeSean McCoy not starting that game in New England?
Not much. They won't say a whole lot about why he was or was not. All they said was it was a discipline issue, and they chose to leave it at that. You know, if you want to read between the lines, he had some pointed comments on Thursday of that week about saying how, you know, he wasn't a guy that comes off the bench, and, you know, maybe Sean McDermott didn't like that. I'm not really sure. But, your point is a fair one where you don't want your leader having to be disciplined that late in the season, or at all, really. A guy who was voted captain that young players are supposed to look to has really made attention for all the wrong reasons in 2018. I mean, starting with everything that happened off the field, and then, you know, getting benched late in the year and his poor performance. He was dodging the media for a while during the season. Just not a guy that, in my opinion, was holding himself accountable. There were times where, you know, Sean McDermott had to say, you know, I'll answer any questions for LeSean, basically. He was okay with him dodging the media, which is, you know, in the grand scheme of things, a small thing, but when you're a captain, that's part of what your responsibility is to, you know, speak up and kind of be one of the voices of the team. And he didn't take that responsibility very seriously at all. And not to mention, he had some issues going on. He was disciplined. He had the legal situation, which is still ongoing down in Atlanta. So a lot of stuff that, took away from, you know, attention he could have paid elsewhere. And it's one thing if you perform and all that stuff is going on. It's another when you have by far the worst season of your career and you're one of the highest paid players on the team.
Matthew, is there anything new to report from his legal situation? We know, or we've heard, that both sides are lawyering up, and it could be a rocky offseason as they try to sort this lawsuit out against LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, nothing new other than, you know, new attorneys being hired or added to the case, and, his motion to dismiss was denied. So this thing isn't going away. That's the only update, you know, you can provide, is that, you know, there's no good news for LeSean McCoy that's come out during the course of this whole deal. So he's, you know, pretended like it's not a big deal, but here we are however many months later, and it's still lingering, and it's still going to be something he has to devote attention to this offseason.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic on a much happier note. Let's talk about the Senior Bowl. Somebody that covers the NFL draft, that's you. And you go down to Mobile. For Bills fans, what are some things, it's coming up here in just a few weeks here. We start looking at the prospects. Let's just talk about the draft in general. The Bills at number 9, what kind of position does that put him in when it comes to the 2019 draft here, Matthew?
It's an interesting one. I think it's a fine spot for them to be. Obviously, you always want to be picking draft, but number 9 is pretty comfortable, and in a way it works out for them because their biggest needs at offensive line and wide receiver, you know, there's still a lot of debate over which prospects and how many prospects at those positions will be worth the number 9 pick. I think along the offensive line, you can certainly count on Jonah Williams probably being gone in the first 10 picks. Greg Little from Ole Miss is another guy that could be gone in the first 10 picks. Maybe Dalton Risner from Kansas State or Cody Ford from Oklahoma. So there are some options along the offensive line. Wide receiver is a lot murkier. There's really no consensus on who the top guy is at this point. DK Metcalf from Ole Miss is the popular name in a lot of mock drafts. He's got a lot of tools in terms of his measurables, but he's, you know, his season ended with a neck injury that was pretty serious, and still unclear as to where that, you know, puts him in terms of his long-term future. And then you've got a whole bunch of names, depending on who you ask. There's just a wide range of guys that could go anywhere from 10 to 40 or 50. So you know, there's definitely a discrepancy in terms of how some of these guys are viewed. It's going to depend on what teams want, but I think the Bills will be in a decent spot. But again, you heard Brandon Bean mention he's not going to draft for need as long as he's here. That's a way to set your team back. I think another way of preparing fans for the possibility that this could be a defensive player, whether it's a defensive tackle to replace Kyle Williams, a cornerback to play opposite Tre'Davious White, there, or an edge rusher, like we talked about, you know, them needing a bit of a difference maker there. All of those are possibilities, and that's where the strength of this draft lies. So I think Brandon Bean knows that and probably is preparing for at least that possibility where they could get cornered into taking a defensive player.
Matthew, who do you like this weekend? We got action.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching some of these games. I like the Colts quite a bit. I think the way they finished the season was impressive. And, you know, the Texans are a bit of a flawed team with their offensive line. They've got some star power, but I do like the Colts. We've got, what, Chargers, Ravens is another one. I like the job Anthony Lynn has done all season. Rookie quarterbacks, you know, making their first start on the other side there with Lamar Jackson. Probably not the best situation, so I'll take the Chargers in that one. We've got Eagles, Bears, and I'm tempted to pick the Eagles. There's something about Nick Foles and the way they're entering the playoffs that is definitely intriguing to me. So I'm curious to see how that goes for them, but I like the experienced team coming into the playoffs on a roll as opposed to the inexperienced quarterback, you know, coming into the playoffs with a first-year head coach. And then Seahawks, Cowboys, I'm taking Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll over, you know, the Cowboys, who seem to let everyone down year after year. You know, again, Seahawks, a team coming in on the upswing with an experienced quarterback, an experienced coach, and a defense that seems to be finding its stride. So I'll go Seahawks, Colts, Chargers, Eagles this weekend.
Matthew, you and Tim Graham did a great job covering the whole Kyle Williams story. What else are you guys working on at The Athletic?
Yeah, this week I put together a big, humongous off-season manifesto of sorts. The biggest needs that the Bills will have, free agents they should go after, guys they should target in the draft, you know, what has to happen for them to make the playoffs, breaking down their free agents, who they should bring back, who they should let go, their salary cap situation, basically anything you could possibly think of, any question you could have for the offseason, 2,000 plus words. Mm. That'll be posting on Monday as part of our offseason blitz, if you will, at The Athletic. And this is kind of the last deal of the NFL season where you can get 40% off of subscription if you go to, where's the code here? It's theathletic.com/NFL40off. You can get 40% off. So we'll be rolling that out. And Tim and I have a few other things in the works that I think people will enjoy. That I'll keep under wraps for the moment.
Matthew, great job as always. This has been a fun season. You did a great job covering this team. And you know, who knew you wouldn't miss a beat going from the Post Standard to The Athletic, doing a great job over there. And encourage all of our listeners to check out Matthew's work at The Athletic. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic, always appreciate him stopping by the sports bar. Here is, it's going to be a fun offseason, and we'll keep you updated.
NFL appetizers on the way next. We got finalists for the Hall of Fame, and the Jim Caldwell interview tour continues. NFL appetizers brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. Stand by. More next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The Radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The Radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.